Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Friday, December 22nd, and you guys know what time it is. It is time to talk about the final WWE SmackDown of 2023. This is kind of wild, guys. Like, we're getting there towards the end of the entire year. But what we had today was a pretty damn good episode of SmackDown. There was a lot to get excited about. We got to see some really great stuff with Roman Reigns, LA Knight, AJ Styles, Randy Orton. We also got some new surprises added to Santos Escobar and his whole new stable that we're going to be talking about in just a second. And we also got some really good women's wrestling here tonight. It was overall a pretty damn solid show. Probably one of my favorites of the week. I thought this was a really good episode of SmackDown. But before we get to all of that, I just want to remind you guys that if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe here to the channel, or if you're listening to the audio versions, make sure to click that follow on this podcast feed. So there has been so much content going up here right now on this channel. It's kind of crazy. I dropped an interview with Mace. I did an AEW WWE trivia game show. I did 12 wrestling predictions for 2024 with Sean Ross Sapp. And then I did top 10 AEW 2023 matches with Righteous Reg. And I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting so many other stuff. So I have interviews with Dave LaGreca, Ethan Page. There's so much happening here. And there's going to be a lot more coming next week. And I still got Collision Review coming up this weekend. So there really is a lot. I want to start things off by giving a shout out to Sheldon Jackson for hooking us up here with 10 DWO memberships. So thank you so much to Sheldon for getting the party started here today. Of course, if you guys want to help support this podcast, or if you just want to get your questions or comments or statements read here on the show, you are more than welcome at any point to send in a super chat. And it really does help out this channel a whole lot, and also gets your opinion heard here on the stream. So a lot of good stuff. All right, let's get to it. I want to start off with the main event angle that we saw, which was everything that involved AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, all of these guys. Because if you guys were here about like maybe 2 weeks or so ago on the SmackDown podcast, the first thing that I said was that I feel that the main event scene on SmackDown has gotten really damn good, because literally just with the return of Randy Orton and AJ Styles, it has added so much to the show. And the fact that these two guys, plus LA Knight, who's one of the most popular acts right now in WWE, when you have all of these guys going after Roman Reigns, I feel like it really makes things just feel a lot more big time. And on top of that, I wasn't even expecting to see Roman Reigns here tonight on this show for some reason. Maybe I was just like so used to not seeing Roman. I really wasn't even expecting to see him on the show today. So when we did have a lot to do with Roman here tonight, I thought, damn, it almost feels like there's more reasons for Roman to be appearing on screen, because there was a period of time where there was not really a lot of guys that there were for Roman Reigns to actually be in a program with. Like, aside from LA Knight, he had already either wrestled whoever else was even up there in terms of facing Roman Reigns. And if not, then there were just no other options. And so right now, it's finally starting to feel like there are more options for Roman Reigns, thus making the main event title picture just feel a lot more grand. So anyways, we got some good stuff from this. And the good stuff that we got about this is point blank, AJ Styles goes out there. He's all moody. He's got the messy hair all up on his face. He's got the dark clothes. He's got the coat on. He's looking like a moody MF, man. Like, he's looking like he doesn't want anybody to mess with him. And he's coming for Roman Reigns. Like, Roman Reigns is the only person that he has in his sights. And so he goes out there. He's talking about that, but he's interrupted by Randy Orton and by LA Knight. And it's just clear, all of these guys want Roman Reigns. And Nick Aldis, who has honestly done a really good job at being a general manager, came out here and made it freaking simple. And made it simple for the wrestlers and made it entertaining for the fans, because he set up a match that we're going to be seeing in 2 weeks on what they're calling SmackDown's. What are they calling it? SmackDown New Year's Resolutions. SmackDown New Year's Revolution, excuse me. I always do that. I always mix up revolution and resolution. Wait, yes, I always mess those words up. But it's SmackDown New Year's Revolution. And that's what we're going to be seeing in 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, we're going to be seeing a triple threat match. And it's simple. Whoever wins this match is going to go on to face Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. So I absolutely love that they went about it that way, because it gives us something to look forward for the first SmackDown of 2024. And then on top of that, you're going to find out who's going to be wrestling Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. Now, I don't know what's going to happen here, because the way that the show closed out here tonight, we had the match between Solo Sikoa and AJ Styles that ended in a DQ because Roman Reigns came in and attacked AJ Styles. And so towards the end of the show, we're seeing Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns beat up AJ Styles. And then you see Jimmy come out there. So of course, both Randy and LA Knight go out there to help out AJ Styles. AJ Styles is pissed off that they even came out to help him, because he doesn't like them and he doesn't want their help whatsoever. So then they end up fighting amongst themselves to close out the show. So this feels real, real big time. And for me, I'm almost kind of wanting. So I think it was last week, one of the viewers here on this channel predicted, or rather hoped, that we might be seeing all of these guys go up against Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. And at first I was kind of like, nah, it should just be Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. But honestly, I would not hate it if we got some sort of fatal four-way between all of these guys here, because everybody wants their hands on Roman Reigns. I'm honestly cool with what they decide to do. I'm pretty sure it's still going to be Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. And I feel like that's the direction that they're mainly going to actually do. But I don't know, if they do decide to do a fatal four-way, I'm cool with that too. So let me know in the chat, guys, what do you think? Do you think we're going to be seeing Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns and maybe AJ Styles, LA Knight instead over at the Rumble? Or do you think that they've done enough so that, I don't know, some crazy shenanigans happens next week and all of a sudden we end up with a fatal four-way at the Royal Rumble? So throw in your comments. Let's see what you, the people, have to say. And we have a couple of super chats I want to go ahead and pull up here. The first one here is from my good friend, Stephen Marchuli, who says, I think we are getting a fatal four-way with Roman versus Orton versus Styles versus Knight. Dude, I don't think you're far off, because again, when we were first talking about this, it really felt like this was all Randy Orton's opportunity. All Randy Orton's opportunity. But now I feel like, based on the events that unfolded tonight, they gave each guy a reason for us to believe that each of them has a real shot against Roman Reigns. Now, of course, we know I don't think we're actually going to see Roman Reigns versus LA Knight one-on-one again, because it's kind of seen it, been there, done that. So if it is a one-on-one match, it's either going to be against Randy or AJ Styles, and if not, thus giving us that fatal four-way. Thank you so much to Steven for that super chat. We got a very generous super chat from Zahira Sharif. Zahira Sharif, thank you so very much for sending this in. Zahira says, Nick Aldis was like, I'm not Adam Pearce, you got me twisted. I love that segment. So Nick Aldis not only comes out there in his, someone on Twitter called it his 1980s Christmas outfit, but backstage, he ends up having a segment with Roman Reigns. So keep in mind that Roman Reigns hasn't really experienced Nick Aldis as a general manager, because they haven't really been on a lot of shows together. They really haven't. So Roman Reigns was pissed off that Nick Aldis made this triple threat match without first consulting Roman Reigns. And you know that Roman Reigns, as a tribal chief, wants absolutely everything to go through him first. But instead, he did not. But Roman Reigns was trying to intimidate Nick Aldis. But Nick Aldis actually showed some backbone and did not crumble to his knees at the presence of Roman Reigns. In fact, he kind of stood his ground and left Roman Reigns with really nothing to say to him. Like, Roman Reigns was just left there with an angry face and did not say anything to Nick Aldis, because Nick Aldis kind of shut him up in that segment. And we don't ever, I don't want to even say that he shut him up, but he definitely showed him a lot of disrespect. And we don't normally see that ever with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns can walk all over anybody that's not a wrestler for the most part and get away with it, right? And even a lot of wrestlers he walks all over. But for a general manager, we were so used to him, like, basically Adam Pearce was just Adam Pearce there. Like, he was really just there, but Roman Reigns made calls for himself. But now with Nick Aldis there, it's definitely changing the dynamic of things and making it just a little bit more interesting, right? Where now Roman Reigns just can't get away with everything that he wants to get away with. But regardless, I think that the way that they played out the main event scene today was really damn good. We got Johnny here who sends in a super chat saying, besides WrestleMania 17, three other manias you save. Oh man, that's a tough question. So I also really enjoyed, and this is just off the top of my head, I really enjoyed WrestleMania 18 too. I was a big fan of that show. And I think part of it was because I was really, like, just starting to watch the shows live and in person. So for me, it was kind of an exciting one. Of course, I have to say WrestleMania 21. That's definitely one that I would definitely save, because I was there and it was my first WrestleMania that I ever attended. And there were so many great matches on that show too. So WrestleMania 21 is another one. And I would probably also save the other WrestleMania that I would save. Fudge. It would probably have to be WrestleMania 38, because I really did love a lot of the matches that we saw there. But damn, there are so many, and I'm probably going to regret some of my decisions that I've made on which WrestleManias I would save. But just off the top of my head, those are probably the ones that I would. Dream Ninja 77 sends in a super chat saying, this was a really good show, especially for a taped one. Butch versus Dragon Lee and Kevin Owens versus Carmelo Hayes back-to-back slapped. Nick Aldis looked the part in every way. So you're right, by the way. Sometimes we know what shows are not going to be great. Usually the ones that are taped or on FS1 are usually not the shows that end up hitting as hard. But this one was solid, man. And you mentioned these two matches here. By the time we got to the main event, I swear to God, I looked up at the clock and I was like, oh shit, it's almost time for we're already on the main event. The show's about to end. But for some reason, I was literally sitting down watching SmackDown, still expecting for like 30 more minutes of the show without even realizing we were already at the main event. And so that just kind of goes to show that they had a really good flow for tonight's SmackDown. So thumbs up. And we're going to get into both of these matches, but these two matches, like you mentioned, going back to back, it was kind of great because both of them had really great wrestling. For me, of course, Butch Dragon Lee was definitely match of the night. That one just slapped a little extra harder, but I don't want that to take away from Carmelo and Kevin Owens because that was still really good. And we'll talk more about those in just a second. Gabriel Salazar says, are you going to WrestleMania 40? Yes, I definitely am. So I've actually been to multiple WrestleManias now, but in terms of as a media member, I've been covering WrestleMania as a media member since WrestleMania 34. And I think the only ones I skipped were obviously 36 because of COVID and then 37. Those were the only two that I missed, but every single one I've been doing as a media member since WrestleMania 34. And then prior to that, I also went to WrestleMania 21, WrestleMania 36, WrestleMania 31, and WrestleMania 32. So I make sure to go to WrestleMania weekend a whole lot, even before I was doing media, because I genuinely think that it's one of the best weeks ever, because not only do you get obviously the grandeur of being there at a WrestleMania show, but you also get to go to all of the indies, all of the different things that they do, like Access. And of course, it changes every year. They do something a little bit different, but overall, you still get like a huge amount of pro wrestling in 1 week. And it's kind of like the week to go. So if you've ever been curious to attend a WrestleMania week, man, it's worth it. I know it costs a lot of money. You just got to save. And hopefully, trust me, I used to do it all the time. I used to freaking save my money just so that I can go to a show. Now it's a little bit different, right? Because now I'm going as a media member. So it's a little different. But if you can, it's definitely something that I would put down as a bucket list if you haven't gone yet to a WrestleMania weekend. It's a very great experience. Mr. Twilly sends in a super chat saying, "I'm pumped the witches are back. Their finishers look so sick." So, Mr. Twilly, you bring this up, so let's get to it. Another match that I want to make sure we highlight today, because this was a very fun match, was the Holiday Havoc 8-women tag team match that we saw. It was the team of Bianca Belair, Shotzi, Meechan, and Zelina Vega versus Damage Control's Bayley, Io Sky, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. So the great things about this match was, obviously, when it comes to these holiday matches, you want them to be, you know, a little fun, right? We're going to get some things that are maybe outside the box. And speaking of boxes, so throughout the match, we were watching the women basically bring out weapons. And instead of just like going under the ring and just pulling out a chair or pulling out a table, whatever, right? They would instead open things up that were wrapped. So at one point we're seeing, I think Shotzi unwrapped a chair. It might have been, who unwraps the bin? Oh yeah, Kairi. Kairi unwrapped a trash bin. And so everybody's unwrapping different things and then using it in the actual matchup. And during this, there was a moment where Asuka and Kairi Sane, they unwrapped these like huge boxes, right? And they opened them up. And I actually thought they were coffins at first. I don't know if anybody else here thought that. I hope I was not alone with this, but I'm so dumb. When I first saw it, I was like, a coffin for Christmas? And then I realized that it was just a large gift box. But because of the way that it was shaped and the way that they kind of just like came out, like a human came out of it, we're so used to seeing people coming out of coffins in pro wrestling. Not necessarily, I mean, yeah, you get gift boxes too. Not really. It's either coffins or cake. People are always coming out of cake, right? But the point is, for a split second, I was like, why the hell are they coming out of coffins? Anyways, they weren't coffins. They were large human gift boxes. And so Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, who we see sporadically on the show, but we love them, they come out and they attack the Kabuki Warriors. And so it ends up being this really cool moment. So it looks like they're coming after them, which is good, because we've been sitting here kind of going, where the hell are Alba Fire and Isla Dawn? Come on now. Like, we need to see them on a weekly show. And they are, we're always talking about how we need more tag teams. We need more tag teams, especially for the women. And we're always talking about how we're always seeing random women get paired up, right? Well, my friends, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn have been a tag team now since NXT. And so they're an actual tag team now. So we definitely want to see them. They're a cool act. They're unique and they have a lot of charisma. So I'm excited to see what more they do with Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. And from the looks of it, they're coming after the Kabuki Warriors. So that should definitely be fun. But pretty much like throughout this match, we saw some really great spots. I mentioned earlier Kairi Sane in that trash bin. So usually when we see people hit other people with a trash bin, they usually go head on with the trash bin to like smack them on the top of the head. And this time she did something different. She almost did it like she was throwing a frisbee, but instead, so she goes at an angle like she's throwing a frisbee, and she almost literally looks like she took the head off of Shotzi. It was a real awesome moment because it just looked a lot more brutal when Kairi did it that way. The other thing that I liked was there was a moment where Bianca put Io Sky above her shoulders and she had this blue gift box above her head. And then Shotzi went to the top rope and just bam, gets Io with a double drop kick and takes her out. So that was another moment that I really liked. We saw a couple of we saw a table spot. We saw a moment where Zelina gets pumpkin pie smashed in her face, and then Asuka comes in and missed her. And I love this spot for one reason, and it's the stupidest reason ever, but I thought it was hilarious that Zelina got her pie and her drink, because if you think about it, when you're sitting at home eating pie, you're obviously going to have a drink on the side. So I thought it was kind of humorous that she first got the pie and then she got the miss, which is like, in my eyes, like, you know, like a drink or something, whatever. It's something that I thought was funny. But anyways, so we see Meechan get the win for her team. And this was a really fun Holiday Havoc kind of a match. So really good stuff there. And everybody's pointing out that spot with Kairi, where she literally took, like, she, it literally looked like she decapitated Shotzi. It was cool, though. It was definitely cool. All right, we got a couple of super chats here to get into. This one is from Tunde Uide, who says, "Hey, Denise, we saw all three factions, Bobby's gang, Santos' gang, and apparently Karrion and AOP. Will there be a triple threat for all the factions at WrestleMania? I don't know what they're planning on doing at WrestleMania, especially for that picture of things, but I wouldn't hate it if that's something that they decided to do, because you obviously want to see some tag team actions, tag team action, and that would definitely be something cool, right? So I wouldn't hate it, but it's still too early to say what they're going to do. Thank you so much, though, for the super chat. I appreciate that a whole lot. Darf Steven sends in a very generous super chat saying, "Merry Christmas to my favorite host in the galaxy. Shotzi doing the dropkick to Io with the box on her head was hilarious. Great tag match. Kairi and Asuka's facial expressions are so awesome." I posted on Twitter a picture of that moment where Alba Fire and Isla Dawn come out, and I captured a part where Kairi's like leaning back, I think, and she just has like the world's funniest freaking face in that picture. Go to my Twitter, it's somewhere on there. It was actually pretty damn hilarious. So I'm glad that you also noticed the facial expressions as well. Steven, thank you so much for the super chat, and Merry Christmas to you and your family, of course. Thank you so much to MD for reminding me about this. The other thing I definitely want to shout out is Shotzi's gear during this match, because Shotzi has a very unique style. We know that. And she's very into horror. She looks really cool all the time. But this one, the gear that she wore tonight was my favorite that she's ever worn. Hands freaking down. It was all black, but she had like little red roses throughout her entire gear. I mean, this was Phantom of the Opera vibes. Phantom of the Opera meets gothic vibes. I don't know. I really liked it. The point is, I was a fan, and it was my favorite gear, and I hope she does different versions of that, because I hope she does something more with the roses thing, because that was a real cool thing. And I don't think, besides Gigi Dolin, who does the rose in her mouth, I don't think anybody else in WWE really uses the rose as a symbol, right? Unless I'm forgetting somebody. If I am, please remind me. But those are the first two things that come to mind. And I feel like that could be like a fun little, you know, it's like Bianca Belair. She has her little lips that she always puts on everything. It's her thing, the little lips. Trinity in WWE, not in WWE, in Impact. She has the stars and she's always putting stars everywhere. Little things like that, you know, you start to associate with the person. So I think that could be kind of cool. Thank you so much to MD for reminding me of that. And Steven Marchuli says, "Karrion Kross's promo made his past feuds more meaningful. Merry Swissmas." So Karrion Kross had another promo today. And in this promo, it was basically him mentioning his prior feuds that he's had and interactions like with the Bloodline and then feuds with Drew McIntyre, Rey Mysterio, Shinsuke Nakamura. And the reason that this was actually cool was that he tied it into what they're doing right now. And he was almost making it seem like he was the reason as to why. He's not technically the reason as to why, but just for the sake of this promo, I'll buy it. So for that reason, I thought it was pretty all right. They're asking us if we're going to see the Vision. And Scarlett, she does this like big scream at the end. It was not bad. Honestly, it was not bad. And it looks like we're getting closer to something real different being done with Karrion Kross. So thank you so much to Stephen Marchulli for also sending this in. I also did not get to mention the part about Meechan earlier, and somebody just brought it up in the chat. And when we're talking about AJ Styles, we had this situation where he was backstage with the OC and with Meechan, and they asked him, like, hey, man, are we cool? Like, we haven't heard from you. And it does not look like they're going to be moving further together in the future. And on top of that, Meechan was there hugging AJ Styles, and AJ literally just like took her hands off of him, and he didn't care. Like, he did not show any love to any of his former friends. So it looks like that's pretty much over with, which I kind of feel bad though, because I don't know what they're going to do with the OC without AJ Styles. And Meechan, obviously, it's different. I feel like they will find something for her. Obviously, she was part of this match earlier today with the Holiday Havoc. But I do worry about the OC because I have a feeling, I don't know, it's just not, they haven't always used them that well. And so I worry that without AJ Styles in the picture that we're probably not going to be seeing too much of them. I hope I'm wrong because I would love to see more of them on the show. But it's just a matter of, will they? We will see. We will definitely see. All right, so, and we got everybody out here pointing out some of the same things that we were talking about last week with Laurice Johnson saying we got the lone wolf, AJ Styles, and Ender Buckley says they left him hanging, which is why he got hurt. Mia ain't in the wrong, but good bros got to make it right. Hey, you're probably seeing it the way that AJ Styles might be seeing it. Dominic Carranza says, I'm hoping that even though the OC split, that Meechan gets something to do in the women's division. Yeah, I do think that she'll be all right. Honestly, I do think Meechan will be pretty all right. But it did help that she was in the group because it made her look extra cool because she's out there hanging out with the dudes, roll, you know, just not, she was part of a stable that was cool. And you don't get to see that often for the women. So I did like what that did for Meechan. But now it's like, you know, we only got so much from that. But I think she'll be all right, though. I really do think so. All right, let's go ahead and continue on with this. So we got a couple more things to get into, of course. The next thing that I want to talk about, and I touched on it a little bit already, but I want to mention it again, and that was Dragon Lee versus Butch. So this was for the NXT North American Championship. And if you watch any of my NXT reviews, you know that Dragon Lee right now as NXT North American Champion has been a blessing in a situation that was not supposed to be what it was supposed to be. You guys know that Wesley, unfortunately, is out due to a back injury, and he's going to be gone for a while. And so they had to basically put Dragon Lee into this match against Dominic Mysterio at Deadline. He wins the title, and clearly they didn't have any actual plans for Dragon Lee, considering that he was a replacement in this match. So what they've been doing on NXT is he's been having all of these open challenges, and he's been going out there and having some incredible matches the last few weeks, the last 2 weeks over on NXT. So now we're on the SmackDown side of things. He has this match with Butch, and this was by far the match of the night, guys. And keep in mind that I just talked a little bit about his NXT, what we've been seeing, but even before he became NXT North American Champion, he was having a lot of really good matches also on SmackDown. So now it really seems like the stars are starting to align for Dragon Lee. So this match was cool. They're going out there, busting out all of these suplexes with one another. At one point, Dragon Lee hits a sit-down powerbomb on Butch, and Butch kicks out of that. We see a Bitter End countered into a Destroyer. And then finally, we end up seeing Dragon Lee pick up the win. They shake hands afterwards. These are two guys. So Dragon Lee, he's looking like he's getting a little bit of a push, right? Right now, Butch, to me, has always felt like they could be doing a lot more with him. I really wish that he would just go back to Pete Dunne, but it's fine. I'll get used to Butch at some point. But I really do think that he does not get the credit that he deserves, because I've said this a million freaking times, but anytime he's like in there, whether it's a six man or usually like these multi-men type of matches, he's always the one that you really see going at 100. If another guy is going at 100, freaking Butch is going at 110. What I'm saying is that he's always just doing more. He's always going that extra mile, and you can tell when he's in the ring. You can see it. And so I feel like we don't shout out Butch enough, and so he needs to get a nice push on SmackDown, because I really do think that he's somebody that is a little bit underrated and should not be. We got a super chat here from Tunde Ed, who says, Io is the champ. Why does she get pinned at times? I feel like, and I have felt this for a while now, since even God before, I always feel like they leave Io out, even though they don't really present her as like this super ultra dominant champion. And that's been like my one little tiny issue, because if they did, I think people would be a lot more, I don't know how to explain it, but you would feel a lot stronger, I think, about Io, because anytime she's in there, she has some great moments and matches, but they need to present her as a better champion, though. That's the one thing I wish that they did with Io. And I've been saying this for a long time already, so it's really nothing new. The good thing that they have going right now, though, is that Damage Control is super hot and people are interested in the story. Thank you so much to Tunde Uid for sending in that super chat. We got Ebony Prince, who's a DWO member, says, Happy holiday, Denise, and everyone. Love your podcast. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. It's weird, but like, I can't even believe it's like Christmas this week. What the hell? It's kind of weird. I work tomorrow, and then the next day I'm going over to my grandma's house. We're going to start making tamales. And then literally that night we're going to be celebrating, since we celebrate on Christmas Eve. And then for Christmas Day, I'm planning on doing absolutely nothing. I actually can't wait for that. I'm going to sit in my couch with my pajamas, put my hair up in a bun, have my nice clean face, no makeup, and just freaking chill. And that's all I'm gonna do on Christmas Day, and I cannot wait. Giuseppe sends in a super chat saying, Denise, just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. What time should I come over for tamales and keep kicking it in Espanol? Muy bien. So let me tell you, Giuseppe, we're starting the dinner at 7 p.m. So if you want to roll, we got the tamales rolling in. It's going to be a good time, honestly. Well, my favorite Christmas food is, of course, tamales. I don't know if I'm going to have any champurrado this season, because my grandma doesn't actually like to make the champurrado, because she feels that not enough people drink it in the family. It's really only me and my mom that love champurrado. So my grandma does all of this work, and then like no one drinks it. And then she gets mad, because since I like champurrado, I'll have one cup. And my grandma gets mad because I didn't drink the entire gallon. And I'm like, woman, I cannot drink the entire gallon of champurrado. You're crazy. But anyway, so I'm probably going to have to go buy it somewhere, which kind of sucks, because I don't want to have to go buy it somewhere, but whatever. If I want to get my champurrado, I have one every single year. I got to go buy it somewhere. But anyways, the party is starting at 7. Giuseppe, thank you so much for the super chat. All right. Yvette asked if I'm going to go watch the Iron Claw. I thought about it, because there's not really that much on TV right now, guys. I think the only thing I have planned to watch is, I think there's a new comedy special with Trevor Noah on Netflix. I'm going to watch that at some point this weekend. And that's like it. There's nothing that I haven't already seen on TV. So I might go to the theaters and watch The Iron Claw, since I don't got anything else to do. So we'll see. We'll see what I end up doing. Yvette also said she's thinking on going Christmas Day. I was thinking about that, but then I also want to stay home and do nothing. So I'll figure out what I got to do. We'll figure it out. Anyways, Let's get into this U.S. tournament because a lot came out of this. All right, where do I begin, guys? Let's go. So, Carmelo Hayes versus Kevin Owens. This was a match that we had someone put over early on, and I completely agree. I thought that this was a really good showcase for Carmelo Hayes. I talked about this on Busted Open about how this really feels like a test for Carmelo, because when you are put in a match of on SmackDown, when you're not a main roster talent yet, and you're going up against Kevin freaking Owens, you're going to want to make sure that you put on a phenomenal match because that is what's going to get you noticed, right? And so I thought this was a really great showcase for him. This was fun. We see KO just going out there and stomping up. Eventually, he hit him with the Swanton and the Stunner for the win. And guys, this was a win. Even though Carmelo didn't win, perfectly fine. We already knew Kevin Owens was taking the W here. That's what the prediction has been from the very beginning, because Logan Paul has been out here body shaming Kevin Owens and calling him disgusting and all of these other things. Kevin Owens needs to get his revenge on Logan Paul, all right? So cool with this. Happy to see Kevin Owens move on in this tournament, and he's going to go on to face Santos Escobar. But things have heated up on the side of Santos Escobar. So, Bobby Lashley, Santos Escobar, this match, we see Santos Escobar get the win, but he had the help of two masked guys. So we see two guys come out, they attack the Street Profits. And at first, I was honestly, the answer didn't come to me right away. When the attack happened, I was like, it's not Cruz and Wild because they are not friends with him anymore. They're on Rey Mysterio's side of things. So it's not them unless they magically turned and decided to realign with Santos Escobar. But no, it was even better. The two masked men unmask, and it is Humberto and Angel Garza. So let me tell you guys, when that reveal happened, I was like, yes, literally, yes, for multiple reasons. All right, I'll start off with the reason specifically for Humberto and Angel Garza. So these are two guys that on SmackDown, when they were on the main roster, they were kind of treated as a joke. Like, they really did not get an honest-to-God real opportunity. They were seen as jokes on the show, and I really hated that, right? Really hated that, but that's what they were. The thing that they had, they would go out there, they would do the kiss to the fan. Prior to that, we would see Angel Garza go off and take his pants and whatever. And they were just not really giving them anything real to honestly work with. And they weren't pushing them. They weren't doing anything. So then we see them go over to NXT, and I'm thinking, oh man, here we go. Like, NXT, like, this is going to be the place where we see something really happen for Humberto and Angel Garza. And it was sort of like the start and stop thing. They had some good moments on NXT, and they even did some, like, at one point they even teased them breaking up, but then they were back together. They did some vignettes. They showed a little bit about the family history, little things like that. But same thing, nothing really took off on NXT for them. And it was definitely a lot better than what we were seeing on the main roster, but nothing really to grab a hold of, okay? Like, there was really nothing. And so I had kind of forgotten about them for a second because we hadn't seen them on NXT since, I think they're, if I remember correctly, the last time I remember them on NXT was the match with the Creed brothers. Was it the Creed brothers? Believe so. Someone correct me, please. Someone correct me on this one. But it was a tag team match that we saw on the opening of one of the NXT shows a couple weeks back. And so that was the last time that, oh, it might have been against Tony D and Stax. Was it Tony D and Stax or was it the Creed brothers? Oh, it's going to kill me now. Thank you. Everyone here is saying that it was the Creeds. Oh, thank God. I was trying to remember. Anyway, so the point is that was the last time we saw them. And so when they unmasked, I thought, yes, put them in this faction with Santos Escobar, and they're all going to work together really freaking nicely. We have seen what Santos Escobar looks like when he has Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde. Their faction in NXT, because I think in NXT was when they really got to shine the brightest for them three as Legado del Fantasma. They came across as really freaking cool on NXT. The presentation, the way that they would come out, it always felt like some royal people were coming out. Like, that was the vibe that they gave. So we know that Santos Escobar in a faction works, okay? And so now, as much as I love Cruz del Toro and Wilds, like, I really do think that this is a huge step up, though, with Humberto and Angel Garza, because I do think that, especially Angel Garza, I think they're stronger wrestlers. They're different types of wrestlers, but a little bit on the stronger side, I would say. And so for that reason, that was, like, the first thing that I thought was really freaking cool. But the other reason that I thought that this was really cool is that, to me, it makes sense to have all of these guys working together, because these are guys that come from families that are very, very respected in Mexico. Not just respected, but are, you know, popular, are known, you know them. And on freaking Santos Escobar's side, as you all know, prior, he was El Hijo del Fantasma, and his dad, El Fantasma, is also the head of the Lucha Commission over in Mexico City. So you got that portion of things. And then you have Humberto and Angel Garza. And with them, the Garza family are freaking legends, especially in Monterrey. They are very, very, they are very regarded very, very highly. And their uncle, Hector Garza, was also the co-founder of Los Perros del Mal. So they were always had that, like, specialty. I can't explain it, guys, but when you have a family in Mexico that is known this way, that is popular this way, it really, really translates nicely to the wrestler that you become. And Angel Garza, like, before he even went to WWE, oh my God, I have so many interviews with him before he even got there. Actually, same thing with Santos Escobar. Before they even got to WWE and they were out there hustling, doing their thing, having big moments in other places. And so getting to see them now come together, especially for Humberto and Angel Garza after, like, their entire journey in WWE, it feels really cool to see them come together right now, especially because I would say that, like, the last, I don't know, year maybe, we have finally been seeing better representation for the Latino wrestlers, because, like I said before, a lot of them, if you weren't Rey Mysterio, if you weren't Eddie Guerrero, you were, like, kind of, they didn't really do anything with you. They really did not. And so now, with the success of the LWO, with even just Dragon Lee, with what they're doing with him, and now, you know, Humberto and Santos and Angel Garza, now it feels like they have an honest shot at actually doing something with them. On top of that, Santos Escobar is doing some of the best heel work that he's ever done before. He's a great freaking heel, and I feel like that's only going to elevate those two other guys, and they're going to elevate him. They're going to complement each other very nicely is what I'm trying to get at. So I'm really excited about just, like, the overall pairing of these three guys together. This was honestly my favorite, besides the main event stuff and besides the Dragon Lee match with Butch. This was definitely my favorite. Oh, shit. And also the women's match. This was honestly my favorite thing. My favorite thing on SmackDown. I love how I'm, like, listing everything that I love. Wait, I also love this. I also love that. Let's put this on top of that. Whatever. You guys know what I'm saying. This was definitely a huge highlight on SmackDown. And the thing that's getting you excited about what they can do. Watch out, guys, what they can do. Keep an eye out. The six-man matches, they're going to be freaking lit, okay? They're going to be lit. They're probably not going to be, like, super, you know, expect some really nice wrestling matches, lucha matches. Expect some really nice ones when they decide to do these six-man tags and all of whatever it is that they're going to do. So I'm looking forward to this. This was a big thumbs up. We got Mr. Twilly, who sends in a super chat saying, I love that the Garzas, but their grandpa attacking them in their dreams like Freddy Krueger made me laugh. Mr. Twilly, they came up with some stuff. I appreciate you sending in this super chat. Seriously, thank you so much. The understudy on Twitter says he didn't like the riding lawnmowers. The Mexicools, when they would come out in the lawnmowers, I don't know how I felt about that because I was a lot younger then. And I think when I was younger, I didn't really see a problem with it. But when I grew up, I was just like, huh, maybe that wasn't like the best representation of like us. You know, like back then, I didn't really think about that stuff because I was a lot younger and my brain didn't really go that direction. And I saw it more as like funny. But as I grew up, I was just like, yeah, you know, it would have been cool if they were presented differently, right? But I remember being a big fan of the Mexicools, really, I was. But anyways, so somebody else, by the way, on Twitter also brought up Electra Lopez. Sorry, I wanted to call her Carmen Electra. I used to do that for the NXT, but Electra Lopez. Somebody brought up Electra Lopez on Twitter. And the thing about Electra, so she's been doing the whole thing with Lola Vice right now. She's sort of been just like her bestie on NXT. But she was supposed to be called up with Legado from the looks of it, but she was replaced by Zelina Vega because Zelina Vega is a little bit on the stronger side when it comes to the managerial role and all of that. Someone mentioned that Electra Lopez should join Santos Escobar and Angel Humberto. And honestly, I kind of like that. I think that right now with what they have her do on NXT, it's not really that much. She was doing a good job as a manager. So I would like to see her maybe become part of this act where she just goes out there and she aligns herself with these guys and, you know, takes part in the whole entire thing. So I would actually like to see that. We'll see. So Rally Cap says Carmen Electra Lopez. Honestly, there's times where my brain goes Carmen Electra Lopez. I'm like, I know there's Lopez in there, but then I always think of Carmen Electra. And I don't even know that much about Carmen Electra, but because she's like, was a celebrity or I don't even know what she's up to right now. I have no idea, but actually I don't really know that much about her. But either way, but because she's just the name of a celebrity that I've known for so many years, my brain just goes to Carmen Electra. For some, when I think of Electra Lopez, so whatever, I'm moving on. But this is the thing, though. The understudy says he's not really feeling the Lola Electra thingy. Lola Vice, she let her have her time to cook on NXT. She's got to, you know, do her thing. But I just think right now with Electra Lopez, the best version that we've seen of her in NXT was when she was with Legado. So I do think that they should have her go up to the roster, to the main roster, to SmackDown, and particularly take that role of a manager and do her thing there, because that's honestly what works the best for her. So we'll see. Oh, man. Let's see what else we got to talk about in this. So the other thing is we're going to be seeing Kevin Owens versus Santos Escobar. I just want to make sure I throw that in there. We're going to see that match. Pretty sure Kevin Owens is winning. We'll see. All right. Oh, snap. That's it, guys. I covered everything from SmackDown. That is what we're going to be seeing. I did not mention, by the way, that we have some matches and some stuff announced for the first week of January. So really quickly, before I forget, we are going to be seeing Io Sky versus Meechan at SmackDown New Year's Revolution. So we're going to be seeing that match. We're also going to be seeing the triple threat match with AJ Styles, Randy Orton, and LA Knight. I mentioned that earlier. And then we're also going to be seeing Santos Escobar versus Kevin Owens. Those are the matches that they announced. All right, cool. And then they also announced that we're going to be having an entire week of like WWE content, and it's called WWE New Year's Knockout Week, and it's going to include 6 shows. So starting on January 1st, that Monday, we're going to be seeing WWE Day 1, which they have a lot of stuff planned for that. Then we're going to have NXT New Year's Evil. They've been preparing us for that as well, but we're also going to be getting the Best of the Bump 2023 and then the Best of 2023 and a 2024 preview special, and then Friday SmackDown New Year's Revolution. So that's going to be the big week of shows for the first week of January for WWE. We got a super chat here from Hidden Network. Thank you so much for sending this in, saying SmackDown is going to be lit next year. AOP with Cross, Los Lotharios, Don and Alba showing up. Honestly, it's looking pretty damn good. And you mentioned just like these names right now, but I'm really excited about what they're doing with the main event picture, guys. I really, truly am. And come January, like, we're about to get into the Royal Rumble, and then it's going to be like, that's it, like WrestleMania season. And you know that that's always the high peak for WWE. So these next few months is really going to be exciting. So if you're a fan, look forward to all of that stuff, man, because there's going to be some good stuff. Thank you so much to Hidden Network for sending in this super chat. Alrighty, everybody, that is it for tonight's SmackDown. I am going to be back here on Saturday, tomorrow, to do an AEW Collision post show. And so I'm back for Collision, baby. So make sure you guys tune in for that. If you guys want to talk about Collision, that's what I will be doing. And then next week, I will be back to cover NXT and AEW. Of course, there will be no SmackDown post show because there's going to be, I'm assuming, like probably a best of episode. They didn't really say, but I'm assuming we're not getting an actual SmackDown episode. So for that reason, don't expect a show for that day. But I have so much content going up. I have a lot of interviews lined up for next week. So there's still going to be a ton of stuff happening on the channel. And there's already a ton of stuff up right now. Alrighty, everyone, thank you so much. And I will catch you guys back here for Collision tomorrow. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please do not forget to head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review. Thank you guys so much. Catch you all on the next one. Bye.